For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Goes back to, for Caleb in particular, just his spatial awareness and, you know, his ability to see the full picture, knows where everyone is, and that's where I see it with him, you know, as he continues to develop, you know, really just getting a handle on the reps and the accumulated reps of certain concepts. But as far as seeing the picture and then being able to get to different windows or different rush lanes that he finds, you know, he's got that natural ability.
We're back with more of the Score Afternoon Show with Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
That is Bears offensive coordinator Shane Waldron. I suspect we'll hear more from him at 5 o'clock with our guy Mark Grody as part of a Bears report. And here's a reminder that Mark Grody's next installment of Training Camp Live is tonight at 6 right here on The Score. Bears Training Camp coverage presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. It's Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron right here with you in the afternoon on The Score. And joining us right now on the Aturo Tire Hotline is Steve Palazzolo from the 33rd team, or is it Pro Football Focus, or this week is it both? It is a confusing moment in the career of the man. Congratulations, Steve, on the jump that you're about to make. Welcome to The Score in the afternoon. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's transition time from PFF to the 33rd team this week, officially on Thursday with the 33rd team.
Yeah, so, I mean, well, good for you and Sam. It's been a great pod for a long time, and the new pod is going to be Check the Mic with Steve Palazzolo and Sam Munson, and you can get it via the 33rd team, or you can get it via Apple and Spotify and everything. Will you guys still reference and use the PFF work you've done as a backdrop for what you do? Should we be referencing that still in regards to you and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'll always be a fan of PFF, the work, using the grades and the stats, you know, within context. And we have a little agreement with PFF to continue to use that information for the next year, because we'll be using their studio as well as we transition. So it'll be a good handoff, I believe.
I see. So we have to wait a year for you to tell the world what's, you know, wrong with PFF, what's valued too much by the numbers. I was hoping you could spill some dirt this week, but I guess not, Steve.
I'll always tell it like it is.
I was going to say, he didn't necessarily say anything overly positive about PFF there either. I mean, is there anything we should know, Steve? You're still going to be using the studio. What's happening at PFF, man?
No, absolutely nothing. Nothing to say there. I'm telling you, the PFF data, the grades, all of that work, I still believe in it. I think it's great. And I think, again, I always try to add context to it, no matter what. Always within context, it is a useful way of evaluating the game.
With that in mind, before we ask you about Caleb Williams, been thinking about this a lot since we found out a couple weeks ago that Matthew Stafford is, in Caleb Williams' mind, the second best quarterback in the NFL, or at least like the second quarterback after Aaron Rodgers that he has modeled his game on. And I wondered if the data would back it up, if your own thoughts would back it up. Is Matthew Stafford a sensible number two on Caleb's personal depth chart?
I don't think he's a two. I mean, I think Stafford, look, I think over the last few years, he's been closer to a five or a six. If you look at the era that Stafford has played in, though, the last chunk of quarterbacks who, you know, most of them have retired or gotten older, was Stafford even a top 10 quarterback when Brady was still in the league and Breeze and Rodgers was in his prime and Peyton Manning was around? I mean, I don't think he was, but over the last few years, I think Stafford has played fantastic, especially when the Rams offensive line just wasn't a disaster. 2022 was a rough season, but I thought Stafford played great last season. Maybe his best wire-to-wire season, because he had to do it with a rookie wide receiver in Puka Nacua, who proved to be really good. But he did it. He played within structure. He plays outside of structure. He makes those special plays. I could see where Caleb Williams gets some of that playmaking ability, or tries to pattern some of that playmaking ability the way Stafford plays. Top two, I think, is rich. But when you start to get into top, you know, seven or eight, I think Stafford's absolutely in there.
And I was talking to Speaks a bit earlier just about where Stafford's arm strength and arm talent are things that are worthy of wow on a pretty regular basis and have been his entire career. So I'm wondering if Caleb more so is just like, all right, this is one of my favorite guys just to watch him spin the ball. When you, throughout your career of evaluating these things, have looked at the traits, which principles have led most to QB sustainability, whether it's, you know, the minimizing turnover-worthy plays or the number of big-time throws. What are some of the aspects of how we should watch Caleb's evaluation and see what makes the most sense in his, you know, in his ascendance?
Yeah, it's a great question. I really think Caleb is going to be – he's going to be unique. You know, he's going to get those comps to Mahomes and Allen and Rodgers or whoever else you want to compare, you know, other quarterbacks who have that special arm. I do think big-time throws and turnover-worthy plays, you know, two of those PFF stats – are really good indicators. It's almost like our touchdown to interception ratio. You get the TD INT ratio thrown out there all the time, but if you look at big time throws to turnover worthy plays, how many times are you giving your team a chance to flip the field with a big time throw, and how many times are you, you know, putting the ball in harm's way at a time that you shouldn't? If you keep that ratio, you know, 3-1, 2-1 to 3-1, you're gonna give your team a really good opportunity to win more often than not. I think that's a really good one. And I look at sack rate a lot. I think that's gotten a lot more publicity in analytics circles over the last few years. You think back historically, Dan Marino never got sacked. Peyton Manning never got sacked. Tom Brady rarely got sacked. Patrick Mahomes rarely gets sacked. It is a quarterback-driven stat. Keeps the offense on schedule. Avoids those negative plays. You know, sacks kill drives, and the best quarterbacks are usually the best at avoiding sacks.
So a guy like Josh Allen, who is known to improvise, who's known to put the football in harm's way, but is also known as one of the best, most productive quarterbacks in football, where's the balance within that? Does it just come down to do you find a way to win the game, or are there things within the confines of how you evaluate someone like a Josh Allen that make it a little bit trickier to say whether or not his production can be compared to someone else like him?
Yeah, I mean, that's where I think the PFF grade does a really good job of summing that up, because the grade will crush those turnover-worthy plays. And if you just, I mean, I've seen people do this, if you just put out a Josh Allen, you know, who leads the league in turnovers since 2020, and you just list Josh Allen and you're just listing the totals, it is really disingenuous, and it's not really showing what he has brought to the table. The PFF grade, the big-time throws, what he does running the ball, and what he does from a sack avoidance standpoint, those are all elite. So that balances out, I think, the turnovers for Josh Allen. He could flip the field at any time. He's going to be a key weapon in third and short, fourth and short when you need to pick up first downs. He's going to avoid those negative plays as far as sacks go. And he's become really good in not missing a ton of throws generally. He does play, you know, works much better in the quick game and short area stuff than he did earlier in his career. So I think Josh Allen, it's just a value proposition. If you're going to have as many turnovers as Josh Allen has had, are you providing enough value on the other side? And I think Josh Allen absolutely has over these last few years.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Talking to Steve Palazzolo from the 33rd team and Pro Football Focus for this week. You know, it's funny. I Googled, as we were talking, Jay Cutler and turnover-worthy throws, because having been here for every day of the Jay Cutler 9-year experience, putting the ball in harm's way is something you could bank on him to do. And it's funny, I found an article on PFF about him being a bottom five guy in adjusted quarterback rating on your site when taking into account exactly what you're talking about, big-time throws and turnover-worthy plays. I mean, this is what Bears fans have lived through, is all those years of Cutler and then 4 years of Mitch and 3 years of Fields. And it feels like we've entered the modern era, having watched these two preseason games. What are you seeing about Caleb Williams that is getting you excited, if indeed it is, Steve?
I am really excited about Caleb Williams. I mean, you're seeing the elite traits that made him the number one overall pick. I think, you know, a lot of quarterbacks have been drafted off of traits. And one of the questions is, when you see it on an NFL field, I don't care if it's against backups, when you see it on an NFL field, does it still play? He actually looks a little bit more athletic, maybe even than you would have thought, similar to Justin Fields, a little bit, you know, faster, quicker than maybe he even looked in college. I think that's going to be a weapon, but he just has, I think you guys played it coming out of the break. There's instincts, there's natural feel, there's playmaking, there's just that. He knows how to play the game in a way that it looks like few quarterbacks can actually do. I mean, even just the simple screen pass in his debut, the feel for just flipping it out there to get that pass into the hands of his running back when most quarterbacks are probably burying it because the play looked dead. So I think there's a lot of the special that's already on display with Caleb Williams. My question is going to be the layups, the easy stuff. Patrick Mahomes has the special. Josh Allen has the special. Aaron Rodgers has the special. But they are elite Hall of Fame caliber quarterbacks because they do the mundane, because they do, you know, they hit a little 5-yard hitch on, you know, in the quick game. They don't overthrow the pass in the flat when it's there. I mean, you have to handle the easy stuff. That's going to be my biggest question for Caleb Williams. But I think the first test was, hey, do all those special traits play in the NFL? Absolutely. His ability to throw on the run, natural playmaking. Did he bail on a clean pocket and then roll out and hit a Dunze down the field? Yeah, absolutely. Is it by the book? No, not at all. You're going to have to live with that stuff. But man, the playmaking that he has is very special. And I think that's been on display these first couple of preseason games.
Is there a metric within PFF that equates time on task with the success of a quarterback? You know, a guy like Caleb who, yeah, started for two seasons in college. J.J. McCarthy got a lot of discussion in this town. He's from this area. He's going to be in this division moving forward. He's essentially going to get a redshirt year after a couple of seasons as a starter in college. Anthony Richardson, I was just out at Colts camp talking to him. He basically got a redshirt season after a nice start to his career last year with the Colts after not playing that much in college. Is there anything to associate the future success of a quarterback with how much they've played, not only in college, but how early in their career they actually step onto the field?
You know, I think like a lot of quarterback things, and this it's a fantastic question. There's not a clear answer, you know, because you could say a guy like Brock Purdy was a 4-year starter, and then he just all of a sudden is just really comfortable right away in the NFL. But it's not like every 4-year starter is great. Then you have someone like Kyler Murray, who was a bit of a, we'll call him a 1-year wonder in college. He didn't really get his opportunity. Then he does at Oklahoma, wins the Heisman, and he's been a very good NFL quarterback when healthy. So, but there's been other 1-year wonders, a Mitch Trubisky, right? Really only 1 year starting at UNC, didn't have the experience. It didn't work out for him. Some other quarterbacks, you know, so it's kind of hit or miss. Mac Jones was a 1-year wonder, and he was great his rookie season, especially for a rookie, and then he regressed. So there's not this clear, do it this way, do it that way. It's the same thing with quarterbacks who sit versus quarterbacks who start right away. Peyton Manning started right away. Aaron Rodgers sat. Tom Brady sat. Patrick Mahomes sat. It's different for everybody. But I will say, when you know, a guy like Caleb Williams, there's still probably room to grow. You know, he didn't have as much experience even as some others, and I think a lot of the juniors who come out, you know, probably have a little bit more room to grow. And I think that is encouraging for a guy like Caleb, who I think, yeah, again, has to polish up some of the mundane, some of the simple, playing within structure just a little bit more, you know, consistently. But he has the athleticism and the natural ability, like a Josh Allen, to be able to make that leap even at the NFL level.
61 games played in college for Bo Nix. 61, man! It's absolutely bananas. Two more quick things here for you, Steve. One is, do we look at the success and the excitement in Washington with Jaden Daniels and in Denver for Bo Nix? Does preseason success make the Bears fans value Caleb's any less by comparison?
Oh man, I got some of those bad memories of buying into preseason hype. I mean, Zach Wilson looked like the best quarterback a couple of years ago. He looked so comfortable. He looked so good in the preseason, and then nothing like that in the regular season. Daniel Jones barely even threw an incompletion his first preseason. He was like 25 for 29 for 450. He was getting apology notes from Dan Orlovsky was apologizing for criticizing him during the draft process, and then he just, you know, became Daniel Jones. So to me, it's looking at the style and the how and trying to describe it, right? And it's not about the stats. It's not about the results. It's really, do these guys look comfortable? Do they look like they're going to be able to compete? Caleb Williams absolutely does. Guys like Jaden Daniels, you know, he does. Bo Nix looks like, hey, those 61 games are paying off. He looks ready to go when it comes to the NFL.
All right, Steve. And then I gave you a chance several years ago to hop on board with my own personal scouting term that I had created. Go up and get it for a wide receiver. Guwagi.
I remember.
You remember that?
Oh. I remember that. We were talking Alshon Jeffery at the time, probably.
I think we were. We obviously Randy Moss as you know, yeah. the god of Guwagi. And now we've got Roma Dunze. Like, it's, you know, he's graded 50-50 balls. Look at the catch radius. Just say Guwagi, people. So I want you to know that you've missed your chance.
It's too late.
Well, or maybe not, but either way, Matt Miller, our friend Matt Miller, on the NFL draft on ESPN, granted day two, but still, it was Matt Miller on the draft this from this past year.
You guys heard of Guwagi? Go up and get it, guys.
So that's Matt Miller. Like, I mean, I've penetrated the zeitgeist, Steve. So I don't think, maybe you've missed your chance is the wrong way to say it. Maybe we could all work together. Maybe we could reach across the aisle and kind of all do our part to get Guwagi into the zeitgeist. Are you interested? I'm giving you a second chance to get involved, sir.
I mean, you could. I can be bought out. You can pay me off to use it on our new show, Check the Mic. We can make that a regular, you know. We're looking for, you know, a little, we could get a sponsored segment maybe on the new show. We're just trying to build the new show, guys, you
yes.
know. Check the Mic. We're just trying.
There is some Guwagi gear already, is there not?
There is. There's a Guwagi hat that a listener made for me. Yeah, Steve, I think this might be an opportunity. As you launch something new, maybe we could work together on this and help each other out. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, you know.
I love it. Let's do it. I'm in.
Steve's in. Oh, God, it's a big moment. We're moving Guwagi forward. Thanks, Steve. Good luck with the new venture.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it. Steve Palazzolo from the 33rd team. That's a big moment, man. We're going to make it happen. We're going to make Fetch happen.
I'm glad you're excited about that.
I am excited. Thanks for being...
I'm less confident.
Yeah, thanks for being fake glad. I miss less confident. I thought he was a terrific overnight host. We'll do a Bears report at the top of the hour right here on 670 The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.